Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Worst Advice I Ever Got. I'm your host, Sean Taylor, along with my producer, JB. Today, we're joined by Kevin Palmieri. Kevin is the CFO, founder, and co-host of Next Level University, a global top 100 self-improvement podcast with over 1,800 episodes and more than a million listens across 170 countries. Through his podcast, Kevin brings a heart-driven, no-nonsense approach to holistic self-improvement with the aim of helping others level up in their health, wealth, and love. Today, he's here to share the worst advice he ever got and how it shaped his journey. Let's dive in. Hey, Kevin, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so very much for having me. I am excited to chat.
So, Kevin, let's jump right in. Tell us the worst advice you ever got.
The worst advice I ever got was, why don't you think less? You think too much.
Ooh, okay. When and who? Let's dig into that a little bit.
This was probably 2018. I was dating someone, and they just didn't really like the way I thought about things. And this was the last message they ever sent me after they kind of nexted me. It was, Kev, why can't you just be okay with what is? Like, why do you have to overthink everything?
Why do you think she was giving you this advice, Kevin? What was going on?
I think from her perspective, she had what she thought she valued in life. And she had assumed that if I went through life just constantly searching and searching and searching for more, that I would end up wildly disappointed. And I can understand that. I can understand her perspective. I just think her and I had very different goals at that point in life and most likely still do today.
Describe yourself then. What is it about you that maybe led your girlfriend to say, why are you doing this?
I am somebody who is obsessed with self-awareness. Not knowing about myself has pained me to the deepest, deepest levels. And I became obsessed with kind of avoiding that happening to me in the future. So I think that was a piece of it. I didn't have a midlife crisis. I had a quarter life crisis. And that became the inspiration for me to try to become as self-aware as humanly possible. And obviously that's not the cup of tea that everybody wants to sign up for.
What was that quarter life crisis about?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, so I, just quick context, I was raised by my mom and my grandmother. I didn't know my dad. I didn't meet my dad until I was 27. Lower middle class, didn't go to college, and essentially came to terms with the fact that I'm most likely never going to be successful. That was kind of my identity at the time. Somehow, I got this job in an industry called weatherization. And I went from making $15 an hour as a construction laborer to $60 an hour on my first job for this company. I was convinced that I had found my life's purpose. At that point, I had a different girlfriend. She was a model. I had a sports car. I was getting ready to compete in a bodybuilding show, so I was quite literally in the best shape I will ever be. And I found myself sitting on the edge of a bed contemplating suicide the next year because I felt so empty, even though I had accomplished so many things in the external world. And that was the kick in the butt that I needed to at least explore. How did I unconsciously get to this place? And how do I avoid this happening to me on repeat over and over again into the future?
Where do you think all that came from?
I grew up with having very little and feeling very insignificant as a man. I assumed if I just band-aided all the things that made me feel bad about myself, I would feel really good about myself. But the way I always explain it is, I thought having a beautiful girlfriend was the key that would open that door. Did it? That wasn't the key. Let me get a nice car. Okay, that didn't do it. Let me get in really good shape, like magazine on stage shape. That's the one. That didn't do it. So then I fell into what I think is a common thing where I assumed money. That's the last one. If I can do that one, that must be the final boss for me to be fulfilled. And when that key didn't open the door, I think that broke me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, how did you move forward from sitting on the edge of the bed, ideating those things? What was next?
Honestly, I messaged my business partner now, who was a really good friend at the time, who was at the time probably the only person who thought more than I did. And he said, Kev, over the last couple of years, your awareness has changed a ton, but your environments have remained the same. I think it's time for you to change your environment. And that for me was the light at the end of the tunnel that I needed. And it was permission. It was permission to get out of the identity of being stuck and feeling lucky to have gotten to where I had gotten. That created a little bit of excitement for me. Mm.
Sounds like he pointed out to you a little bit of the pro and con of the self-awareness. Like, you had done a lot of thinking, so you were very self-aware, but it was almost like you weren't doing something about it, was what he was saying. The environment, you're still in your environment. Is that how I interpreted what you said?
Yeah, I would say, I would go as far to say, Sean, as he saved my life. I don't think I would be here. I definitely wouldn't be here in the way that I am without him, and I might not be here at all. I think what he was pointing out was, Kev, you've worked a lot on the internal side of things. You used to be somebody who took massive action very quickly. That seemed to bite you in the butt. Then you went purely internal, and now that's kind of biting you in the butt. I think it's time for you to take action again. Mm. And then after that, I was able to do a better job, not a great job, but a better job of pairing the two.
Yeah, so how do really... you do that? Like, how do you over... So you're thinking, so it's like, okay, think it all the way through and do the action as opposed to just do the... How do you... That seems easy, but is it?
Yeah.
Well, I think it all starts with a self-awareness prompt of, are you ready, aim, fire? Are you ready, fire? Are you aim? What is your natural tendency? My natural tendency was always ready, fire. Then when I realized the pros and cons of each, I was ready to do ready, aim, fire. So I think you have to figure out, are you somebody who sets goals and does nothing? Are you somebody who never sets goals and you just accept what is? There's a lot of hints and lessons, I would say, hidden in that stuff.
Was all the aiming you were doing set at doubling down on making sure you didn't make a wrong decision?
Every time I got somewhere in life, I just assumed I was really lucky. So I think for me, I was overthinking my identity of who have I been for my whole life and who the heck do I think I am to be the guy who's going to leave a job and start a business and do all these things that just seem extremely unlikely / impossible to a kid without a career and zero college experience. It just didn't seem realistic for me.
Well, so, Sean, since it didn't seem realistic, you just kept aiming.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think I assumed if I just aimed long enough, eventually a shot would happen by accident. Hmm. And I think a lot of us fall into that. Hmm. And I can tell you from my experience, it didn't. Eventually, somebody forced me to take a shot.
But I got to say, I mean, Sean, it sounds like the girlfriend was right. You were thinking too much.
I mean, you had to be the one to point that out, you know.
Here's the truth of the matter. He was way more self-aware than I was, and I looked up to that. I didn't want to trade lives with that young lady. I wanted more. I wanted more impact. I wanted to get better. I wanted to add value to the world. He wanted that at a much greater scale than I did. So in a way, it was like taking advice from a mentor.
Yeah, it was interesting there. Somebody helped you pull the trigger there, is what it sounds like.
I think sometimes you need, your back needs to get put against the wall to figure out, am I overthinking? Am I underacting? What do I really want? So yeah, some of the best stuff that has ever happened to me, I think, has just been disguised as pain and or uncertainty, I would say.
Part of this that I was thinking of with the think less is that, so you're like always thinking about what you are doing and saying and acting. And, you know, it's like when people can't sleep at night and you're just thinking about all the awkward things you've ever said in your life.
Turn your mind off.
Yeah. How do you, so I always find that it's like such a good exercise to turn your mind off and do a thing like, but you're saying, no, don't do that. How do you keep that energy of moving forward and thinking all the time without going crazy?
If somebody out there right now is a chronic overthinker and all they do is ruminate and they can't sleep because they're overthinking, I'm not going to give you the same advice that young lady gave me. That might not serve you. For me, I did not know myself at all. I had no idea why I was doing what I was doing. That is the biggest pain I've ever had. So for me, it's mostly the fact that like I'm in real time, I'm thinking about what you guys think of me and whether or not this is landing. And is that a good story? Is that a bad story? And after we get off here, I will be thinking about this until my next thing. I really want to get good at this. I want to be the best I can possibly be at this. Me approaching it with a normal mindset, I just don't think is gonna get me there. I think this is kind of par for the course. I imagine somebody who's playing professional baseball, they're thinking about their curveball when other people are thinking about what they're having for dinner. I think that is just kind of par for the course when you really, really, really want to build something that's way bigger than you.
Can you talk about that 3-month process a little bit? Like, what were you doing to try to move from, let's call it, your bottom to that moment where you told them, yeah, I'm not coming to work, you can take my job and shove it, I'm going to do this podcast thing? But what were the steps you were doing? Were you doing it by yourself? Were you doing it with others? Just describe a little bit more about what that journey was for you.
I really dove into self-improvement. And I started tracking habits every day. I would track how much money was in my bank account. I would make sure I was reading for 15 minutes a day. I really went all in on that. And I think the thing that is invisible but was very powerful for me was I started to actually act in the way that I wanted to become. And I was actually getting around people who had big goals and big dreams. And it was okay to think too much. It was okay to ask what your big goals are, what your big dreams are. So I think I was really able to expand my perspective in that more than anything, and really invest in me, which is something I never did. I invested a lot physically in myself. I was a bodybuilder, great. I never invested emotionally.
Thinking too much versus thinking with purpose. You know, it's like,
big difference.
I'm not just thinking to think.
Yeah, big difference. And now let me sit with it. Let me think. Let me analyze. Let me continue to analyze. Let me take action.
That's interesting. Yeah. You brought in someone else to help you with accountability is what it sounds like, right? Mm-hmm.
But there's something called a commitment device. And we do this with clients all the time. Either you do blank between this call and next call, or you donate to a charity that you don't believe in. And I think here's the thought. If you're scared, that's probably enough accountability. If it's not scary, it's going to be not meaningful. And if it's not meaningful, there's no reason to do it in the first place.
What was the fear?
Of being a failure. Yeah, not my core. So my dad left when I was young, and I think I internalized that as I wasn't good enough. I wasn't valuable enough. I wasn't competent enough. And then, unfortunately, I reinforce that behavior, working at a hospital, cleaning bathrooms and floors, and just getting treated like garbage by the doctors and the nurses and the people there. That made me feel worse about myself. So I think I had built up this identity of, Kev, you're gonna be the loser. We used to talk, me and my good friends, about who was gonna end up in jail out of us. And the vote was for me. That's the way the cards were seeming to fall. So I just think I fell into that, and I just assumed, well, that's who I am and that's who I'm going to be forever. And I still have that. I still have moments where I don't feel good enough, where I don't feel smart enough, where I have imposter syndrome. I still deal with this kind of stuff to this day. It's just, I think I have a better relationship with it. I've learned to coexist with it and make friends with it a little bit better than I used to. I don't know if it's ever going to go away, but that's the deep fear. Being left behind, being not good enough, being not smart enough. That's what it is.
This overthinking that you have, how has that helped you sort of not become the loser you thought you were going to be?
So Alan said this to me one time. He's like, Kev, somebody's got to be the successful one. It's like, why can't it be you? So what if you just took your overthinking of why you're not good enough and you found all the proof that actually reinforces the behaviors that you want to participate in? So a great example of this, I have something where I look for the most recent and relevant proof. Now, what happens if it's going in a negative way for me? And I'll start to get that voice. Kev, you're going to get found out. Kev, this is going to go horribly wrong. What if they don't like you? And I'll literally sit there and say, I know this is your deepest wound. I know this is your core fear. Let's look back at a time where you had the same feelings and things went well. And I do that all the time. If it was stopping me from taking action, I think I would be overthinking. But that thought process allows me to connect into what has actually worked in the past. And let me give myself proof that I can actually do this. And then we kind of have a 3-step process for building self-belief: state, prove, self-assign. I proved that I was good, but I never self-assigned. I never gave myself credit for my accomplishments. And that way it always felt like luck to me. So a mixture of those two things: recent relevant proof, state proof, self-assign, those are the ones that have helped me the best.
Self-awareness has to come first, though.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that are just shooting arrows into the sky, hoping it lands on a target. It's going to land somewhere. It's just most likely not going to be where you want it to be. A lot of times people will talk about success. They'll say, look, why were you unhappy? Because I didn't determine what success was. I think success is a mixture of core values, core beliefs, and core aspirations. Core values, what do you value as a human? Core beliefs, what do you believe this whole thing is about? And then core aspirations, what do you hope to aspire? If you're somebody who your core values are family, your core beliefs are you should be with family all the time, but your core aspirations are to change the world, you might have to reformat things or reorder things in a very specific, unique, and personal way to you. And I can't tell you how to do it because I don't value what you value.
Yeah, and that's that self-reflection. That's where it comes from. It's 100%. Like you have to do it yourself.
Yeah, 100%. I'll use this example. I have two cats. I have Fudge and Ace. Fudge jumps up on the desk and he just wants headbutts. And I would find myself shooing him away. Like, come on, dude, I'm working. One day I looked at him and I thought to myself, one day Fudge is going to die. And it's going to be way before I want it to happen. Next time he jumps up on the freaking desk, just let him give you headbutts. I know a lot of people that say, Kev, why do you think about that? Because I'll have less regrets if I think about the truth. I understand myself. I know that I can get in a zone and everything doesn't matter, but it's going to matter when it's not here anymore. And I think stuff like that is, it's just very, very, very important. Most of the things that I'm afraid are going to happen, if they're really tied in reality, are probably going to happen before I'm ready for them to. So I can at least experience it in advance.
Me and Sean were talking about an episode we released last year. To be content is to admit failure. And he never let himself really enjoy any of his journey of being an athlete because he was like, well, I have to get to the next step until I'm an all-star in the NBA, the highest level. Don't enjoy anything because if you enjoy it, you're basically going to get complacent. And this overthinking, I was wondering how you do that while like always wanting to grow and get better, but still being happy where you are.
I am not as happy as you probably think. I'm just probably way more fulfilled than you think. I'm not in it for happiness. Happiness is if then. Fulfillment is growing, contributing, chasing something that I'm never going to get an award that says you have the most impactful self-improvement company on the planet. That's nobody's going to give me that award, but I feel like we're making strides towards that every day. And I think fulfillment is a fuel that burns very cool for a long, long, long period of time. And I think happiness is a fuel that burns very hot, but it goes away pretty quickly.
We would agree with that. We had a great guest in their first season whose worst advice he ever got was he said it was advice he had given. Which was just do whatever makes you happy. And it's you're not seeking happiness. Happiness is a byproduct of fulfillment is what I heard you just say. And I think that that aligns very, very much with what, you know, I think is true. You're not in it for happiness. You're in it for purpose and fulfillment. And that's what comes out of it. And really, you took your pain and turned it into a business. A pretty cool story.
Well, that's the worst advice I ever got has led to all of this. All right, now I'm very self-aware. And I still, quote unquote, overthink, but I think it's in a really constructive way. And I take a lot of action, which is really good. The thing I want to make sure I touch on, though, is I think the ideal thing is to figure out what your optimal is. If you're somebody who is a drastic underthinker like I was, push it towards the other direction and just start thinking. Ask yourself why, dig deep, question everything. I don't think that's going to be a bad thing. If you're somebody who is just constantly ruminating, it might be beneficial for you to think a little bit less and act a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you're inspirational to people who can take their pain, can take their tough learnings, and not only just learn from it and be better, but actually turning it into a business model and turning it into a purpose that is fulfilling. So I can't thank you enough, Kevin, for coming on today, for sharing some of your experiences and ultimately just what you took from it, because our audience will listen to this and they will be the better for it. So really, really appreciate you joining us.
I appreciate you having me. I've been spreading the word about the podcast and they didn't tell me to say this. So this is like completely off the cuff. I told my business partner, I told my wife, I was like, oh, this is going to be a really interesting podcast episode, and you guys did not disappoint. So I appreciate you having me. It means the world, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Thanks, Kevin. Really appreciate it.
Boy, JB, it's yet another episode that kind of hits me right between the eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you think less? Honestly, at first, that doesn't even sound like bad advice, but man, when you hear Kevin's story.
The dude had everything on paper. You know, he's got money and the body and the car. He's got the model girlfriend, and he still finds himself sitting on the edge of a bed contemplating suicide, you know, completely lost.
Right. And that was the moment, right? It's when he realized success just wasn't filling the hole. You know, that advice to just be okay with what is was, you know, asking him to give up on one thing that could actually save himself, which was self-awareness.
His overthinking wasn't really the problem. Like, that's actually like his superpower, right? He just hadn't figured out how to aim it. At first, I was all action and no awareness. And then it was all awareness and no action. And then once he started to actually do both of those things, he saw this huge change in his life.
Yeah, exactly. And on that awareness subject, I think his friend told him, your awareness has changed, but your environment hasn't. And that line really kind of, again, really makes you go, wow, you know, that was the permission that he needed to stop playing small.
And it's not because he's thinking less, but he's thinking better and he's taking action.
Yeah, the big takeaway for me is that thinking deeply is not an issue, but staying there, getting stuck there is, you know, introspection without any movement, you know, at best can be described as inertia. But when you act on that insight, that's where true returns, true magic happens.
Nice. We got a physics lesson in our ending thing here then for sure. But yeah, I couldn't have said it better. You know, the trick isn't thinking less. It's thinking with intention and then moving.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen to that. And no, I got like a C in physics, I think, in high school. So we're not here to teach you physics. But what we are here to do is bring you guests like Kevin, who have taken the worst advice they ever got and turned it into a story that you can relate to. So if you related well to this week's story, be sure to tune in next week, because we're going to bring you another great episode of The Worst Advice I Ever Got.